Welcome to What is Going Om, for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. 30 years ago, today's guest published a book that not only changed his life, but also the lives of millions of people across the globe. That book was Healing Sounds, The Power of Harmonics, and that man was author, musician, spiritual teacher, and pioneer in the fields of harmonics and sound healing, Jonathan Goldman, who joins me today to celebrate the 30th anniversary edition of a book that created the foundation for sound as a valid and extremely effective therapeutic healing modality. Jonathan, welcome back to the show. It's good to see you again.
Sandy, what a pleasure it is to be with you. Thank you so much for having me as a guest.
Well, and thank you for producing a book that has done so much for health and healing.
It's been a real blessing. I will tell you immediately that how I wrote the book, just as a phenomena, which was I was in deep meditation over 30 years ago, and this being came to me and literally laid out the chapters of a book I was supposed to write. And I, after the meditation, I wrote this all down. And then a few days later, this friend of mine called and said, I've just been made an editor of Element Books, which was a company in England. Do you have anything that you'd like to submit? I said, wow. I said, I just got this thing. I sent him the draft of that. He said, great, we'll take it. I wrote the book in 6 weeks, which for me is unheard of because it takes years for me to do it. The book got published and they virtually published it at the time exactly as it was written, except that they changed the title.
What was the original title?
Hermetic Harmonics. And they said, nobody is going to know what that is. So I was with my friend who is also a Hindu Swami, believe it or not. And we spent the day kicking words back and forth. And I said, what about healing sounds? And we went for that. And so it was, you know, Healing Sounds indeed was birthed in England ultimately in 1992.
Yeah. Element Books was a great company, You know, among the many predictions that Edgar Cayce made was one that said that sound was going to be the future of medicine. And really, I think we can credit your book with making that come true. How does it feel to know that your life and your work pretty much paved the way, you know, for this whole new, wonderful industry?
Sandy, what a great accolade it is for you to say that to me. And at the same time, I got to say that I stood on the shoulders of giants because whether it's Pythagoras or Dr. Peter Guy Manners, who is a British medical doctor who basically pioneered the field of cymatic therapy, there were so many people before me that I was able to draw upon their work. Back in literally, I'll tell you the story if I may. I am playing in a rock and roll band.
I was going to ask you about that. You read my mind.
In a seaside bar in Cape Cod. I strap on my guitar. You can probably see that maybe not in this, but there we go. You can see a guitar over there. I strap on a guitar and I start playing and I look out at the audience and I become aware that there's an ambiance in the club of negativity and violence. And I'm aware that the alcohol and the other intoxicants that people are imbibing in are certainly creating this ambiance, but so I realize is the music that I'm creating at the time. And I think, wow, what if music can be used to make people feel better? I just had that thought. And in about a week, it shifted about 10 degrees and became, what if sound can be used to heal? And all of a sudden, doors opened up for me. And as doors opened up, I began to read a handful of books that were on the subject and listen to a handful of tapes that may have been designed as therapeutic tools. And I then founded the Sound Healers Association to get an education myself, bringing people from throughout the planet to my humble home in the Lexington, Massachusetts area, where they would talk and lecture to an interested audience, and gave me an incredible background with all these different people who I knew about and have since become on a level of just, you know, great founders in the field of sound. And after that, I founded the Sound Healers Association. From that, basically, I got a degree from Lesley University, a master's degree researching the uses of sound and music for healing, took my record company that was a new wave label and turned it into one of the first new age labels. And of course, it's an award-winning, you know, have a whole lot of award-winning recordings. And
You know what's interesting is your father, your grandfather, and your brother were both doctors, and you went in a different direction, but you still ended up, you know, very much involved in health and healing.
Right, and here's really an interesting thing that hit me about 10 years ago. So this is, my father was one of the great pioneers of ear, nose, and throat. He was basically pioneered plastic surgery, but he was also an incredible otolaryngologist and plastic surgeon. And otolaryngology is the ear, nose, and throat, which is very much, you know, sound healing is for the most part throat chakra. And I said, yeah. I wonder if I'm sort of an etheric ENT guy.
Yeah. So there were you, you know, playing in a, you know, punk and thinking that maybe you were going in a different direction and you just took a different path.
Totally. Really, really interesting. Yes.
Interesting how life works out. Yeah. So the original version of the book, I mean, it was acclaimed for, you know, it had a treasure trove of information and techniques. And the only thing that you say was missing were the sounds themselves. But you've remedied that in the new edition, haven't you?
Yes. I mean, it's so interesting. I get things in meditation. I get things from dream state. And I woke up one morning a couple of years ago and said, okay, next year is going to be the 30th anniversary of Healing Sounds. Contact your publisher, who now is Inner Traditions, and find out if they would like to do a special 30th anniversary issue. And I did. And then I read the book. And I thought, well, this is brilliant. There's not a word in it that I really want to change in terms of the information. It's still really valid. It's still really true. And I don't want to mess with it. But the one thing, because the book was released in 1992, Sandy, and the one thing that they didn't have then were audio downloads.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I was able to provide over 100 minutes of audio downloads that are exercises, recorded examples, guided meditations, all sorts of great things that are really phenomenal listening experiences for people. And, you know, if they say that a picture is worth 1,000 words, I think an audio example is worth an encyclopedia of words, because once you hear something, all of a sudden it can be almost momentarily, you hear it and you go, wow, so the person has spent pages describing something. All of a sudden you hear it, and in 10 seconds, there's a connection between your ear, your brain, and your consciousness in terms of an awareness of, oh, that's what that sounds like.
Mm. So what I want to know is, in the audible version of this, are you going to have the sounds in place rather than separate?
They were separate. Couldn't figure out how to quite do that. That would have been an, you know, an entire different thing. But there is actually a, if you like, an appendix or called A Celebration of Sacred Sounds. And I write about each of them and how they relate back to other things in the book, which really seems to work really well. So I, if you like, I am very, very pleased about that, because a lot of this also comes from my private library of teaching. So these were, you know, exercises or sounds or whatnot that I basically had used in my private teachings that I was now able to make public. And a couple of things were, you know, if you like, donated to me from really famous overtone or harmonic singers. One, a fellow in Germany by the name of Christian Bollmann, does this magnificent, he's singing one tone, and yet at the same time, you can hear through the harmonics, the overtones of the voice, this the song Amazing Grace. And people, when they hear that, they go, it literally becomes life-changing. They go, oh my God, how is this possible? What is going on here? So stuff like that is just really an extraordinary phenomena. And it's also a key to really helping enhance the experience of understanding and embodying sound and harmonics.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you say that harmonics have been described in mystical literature as providing a stairway to heaven. Tell me why.
So, in order to, let me first try to, and it's, you know, once again, it almost takes a book's worth of material to, if you like, describe and understand what harmonics are. But first and foremost, the very, very concept of harmonics is simply this. Whenever we hear a sound, we are not hearing, people have become, since Healing Sounds first came out, very aware of the concept of frequency. So they will basically say, oh, this is XY frequency or YZ frequency, specific frequencies. But in reality, the concept of single frequencies doesn't really exist in the natural world. Every sound that we hear is actually a composite frequency that is composed of these things called harmonics. Now, harmonics are, if you like, mathematical multiples of the fundamental frequency, but they literally continue onward. They keep doubling and doubling, 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 ultimately onward to infinity. So conceptually, if you track the harmonics, you can literally use them as a stepping stone to higher planes of consciousness, a stairway to heaven, if you like, a Jacob's ladder. But at the same time, the understanding of harmonics becomes, it can be life-changing. It was for me. It can be life-changing because you begin to become aware of a multitude of sounds that are simultaneously occurring. It's almost as though through awareness of listening to harmonics, we're taking off sonic earplugs and we're able to hear a whole spectrum of reality. I like to say that harmonics are the color of sound. In fact, they are, there's something called timbre, which is, in musical terms, it's spelled T-I-M-B-R-E, but it's pronounced timbre. And timbre is the tone color of a sound. And the timbre of a sound, the tone color, is based upon the harmonics. So for example, in a laboratory, they took the sound of an oboe, a piano, and a violin, and they took out the harmonics, and you couldn't tell them apart. Normally, we can hear them. That's because of the harmonics. And while each sound that is created has these geometric multiples, these harmonics that are created, each instrument and our voice has very specific harmonics that are most pronounced. They're called, and you don't need to know this, they're called formants. And there are different formants that are found in our voices and in different instruments. And this is responsible not only for why every voice is unique and different. Why we have something called a voice print, which is as unique, if you like, the most stressed harmonics that are found in different people's voices. That makes sense.
Wow. Yeah. You know, before we talk a little bit more about some of the research that's been done in the years since the first book, there's two things that I want to make sure that I ask you, because they really fascinated me. And one was when you were in a studio and you were listening, and I'm not quite sure who you were listening to, the names escape me, but you, there was a certain sound, and you and one of the production team were both able, after just listening, to reproduce that sound, which is not an easy sound to reproduce, and that you'd actually been, what's the word, activated in some way?
Sandy, a beautiful story. Thank you. This is actually a story that has to do with the Gyume Tibetan monks that are a tantric college from Tibet, but of course they were in India at the time, and they... And this is back in the 1980s when this stuff was very, very mysterious and not revealed. They came to the United States for the first time. And I was working with a fellow when we recorded them in a recording studio in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And the monks then left the studio and they were going to be back. And meanwhile, I took this cassette recording of these Tibetan monks, brought it home, was listening to it in my meditation room, my crystal chamber, if you like. And I woke up the next morning and I went, because that was a sound. I was interested in the Tibetan sounds, their overtones or whatnot, but it was like said to take the monks years to learn. And I walked into the recording studio. I said, David, and he looks at me and goes, no. And I said, whoa. And then a month later, the Tibetan monks come back and the Rinpoche, the head lama, walks in the room and we go, no. And he says something to his interpreter and the interpreter says, Rinpoche say, best in West.
So you literally were able to do that because you had heard it and been in their company. So it really was a transmission.
It was. And indeed, I had a friend by the name of Don Campbell, who was responsible for writing a book called The Mozart Effect.
Yes.
You may have heard that.
Yes.
And he and I at one point went to see actually some Gregorian monks, and I was telling him this story, and he said, well, that's an example of harmonic transmission. And I said, great term, Don. I love that. And I have since had the, if you like, great grace to be able to transmit the sound and other, if you like, energies and powers to other people who've studied with me. So it seems to be a real phenomena, which is, you know, basically perhaps based upon the law of resonance and vibration. You're vibrating at a certain level. Somebody comes into you and they're at a different level and they begin to vibrate at the same level through the law of resonance.
Well, that opens up a lot of possibilities. I mean, when you come across great orators, you know, it's the power of their voice and the power of their words can really move people. So do you think that's more to do with the sound than the words?
I think it's due to two phenomena. And this is one of them is certainly something that I first brought to, I think, a lot of people's attention in healing sounds. And this is the phenomena of not attention, but intention.
Intention.
And let me tell you how this came up. I was literally at Lesley University. I've been collecting different systems of using sound for healing, either the physical body, the emotional body, the mental body, different frequencies, different tones. And I thought, you know, I come from a sort of a, you know, the background of, you know, my grandfather, father, and brother were medical doctors, pretty good left brain. I'm going to assemble all this information and become the first person who really is able to identify the specific frequencies of each and every organ, bone, tissue, etc. And instead, nothing aligned. And Sandy, I was in a state of intellectual angst in front of this computer. This was so long ago, I was using a DOS operating system. Dark screen, amber letters, the cursors flashing on and off, little kind of gold cursor on the screen flashing on and off, waiting for me to type something. And I'm sitting there with my head in my hands in a state of intellectual angst because I can't get it. How can this be? How can, you know, scientist A be using one set of frequencies for one organ, scientist B using a completely different set of frequencies for the same organ, or a spiritual master A using a particular mantra for a chakra and spiritual master B using a different mantra for the same chakra? Now, how can this be? How can this be? And all of a sudden, this inner voice says, it is not only the frequency of the sound that creates its effect, it is also the intention of the person making and receiving the sound that creates the overall outcome. And I wrote down on the cursor, frequency plus intent equals healing. This little formula. And this first manifested actually before Healing Sounds, but it was first, if you like, published in Healing Sounds. And I think is as important, if not more important now in 2023 as it was in 1992. But it's a whole lot easier because in 1992, 93, 94, I'd be talking to these different scientists, medical people saying, have you ever thought of the power of intention and what it is? They'd look at me like I was a man from another planet, which I well may be. But nowadays you have the work of everybody from Joe Dispenza doing the placebo effect to Bruce Lipton doing the biology of belief to Masaru Emoto talking about his water molecule crystals to Lynn McTaggart doing her intention experiment. So people go, oh yes, intention. Yes, yes, I understand that. So I love that has really encoded itself on the planet. But talking about conversational voice, which you were, people just speaking as opposed to singing, it's one of the most powerful ways that we can heal, or the opposite, depending upon our intention. So that I think some of the really great orators are able to project the intentionality on to the tones that they create. And this is why we feel it. And as well, I think that some of the great, perhaps less than positive orators who've been in other in fields of leadership and wanted to control people are also able to do that. So it can be used positively or not so positively, depending upon the energy encoded on it.
Well, the second thing that I wanted you to share with us is your story of how you created light from sound.
Yes, nice. I was in a Mayan temple in Palenque, which is in Mexico. It was during a time called the Harmonic Convergence in 1987, which was actually a time when, as far as I remember, much of the world was gathering on these days to actually work with an ohm, a global ohm, to change and shift the vibratory field. And I was down in Mexico going to these different sacred spots. And on the Harmonic Convergence, I was down in Palenque. And this, if you like, this shamanic person took this group of people I was with, small group of people, into a temple that was being unearthed, had really not had any, it was at night, had any traffic. Nobody had really gone down there. And somehow he knew about, I mean, he may have been psychic, or I might have mentioned to him my interest in sound. And he was in the group, and we were underground. All of a sudden, we're in a room. He points to the archway of the room, says, make sound here, and then turns off his flashlight. Sandy, I was in such darkness. I'd never been in such darkness. We had never been in such darkness. And I started making some tones. And all of a sudden, the room became slightly illuminated. not so much, it wasn't like turning on a flashlight, but things got lighter to the degree that you could see the outline of the different people. And it was phenomenal. I'm making the sound and I go, my goodness gracious. And then the guy turned the flashlight back on and we continued on our journey. And then afterwards, we gathered and I said, did anybody experience that? And they were like, yeah, what happened? And I wrote about that. And I have since found out from a few different people that they have also had similar experiences where different shamanic magical beings have basically led initiations in darkened places and it's become illuminated. And they even suggested to me, and I'd never had this thought before, that perhaps this was known about a long, long time ago, the creation of light through our own self-created sound in some of the ancient caves that are really very, very ancient. And the archaeologists are trying to figure out how they could reflect light into this cave using shiny surfaces in the sun to try to get the light in there because they did these cave paintings. How could they have done this in total darkness? This fellow said, maybe they were able to create light. That's interesting.
Is anyone doing research on that to find out how, what's going on there?
No, but I have a feeling that the key is the pineal gland. The pineal gland, which basically creates melatonin and basically, I believe, is able to create a luminosity in the field. And also, I think that there's a combination of not only the brain, but also the heart working together when you're making sound that us, once again, creates this luminous effect. There is a phenomena called bioluminescence that does exist. And there's also a phenomena that if you take, and I'm not suggesting people do this, but if they take two crystals and you rub them together, they will produce a glow that is a little bit like the glow of a flashlight. It's quite phenomenal. I don't do that. You have to ask the crystal if they want to be rubbed together. But the pressure creates a light. And that's phenomenal. Crystals, if you like, are piezoelectric, and they're also crystalloluminescent.
Yes. Yes, it's fascinating, your information about... I've forgotten his name, Marcel Vogel.
Marcel Vogel.
And the other thing that I thought was interesting when you talked about sound encouraging the release of melatonin, which immediately made me think that puts a whole new slant on sleeping, singing someone to sleep.
Yes, well, I mean, that's really extraordinary. And one of the things I think the only thing that I did actually add in the book was one page about some physiological benefits that may not have been the first. I did it as a little addendum. And one of the things is, of course, the release of melatonin and also the release of nitric oxide.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is, I think, very, very important. And once again, it's so interesting. Do we have time right now for me to tell this little story, or should we take a break?
We're going to go to a break right now, but hold that, and please, because I do want to talk to you about the humming effect, and it fits in very well with what you're saying now, but we'll just take a few moments. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest today is award-winning musician, composer, writer, teacher, chant master, and international authority and founding pioneer in the field of sound healing, Jonathan Goldman. And we're talking about his latest release, the 30th anniversary edition of his seminal book, Healing Sounds, The Power of Harmonics. Still to come, the song of the soul, the humming effect, and how you can send a sonic Valentine to the planet on February the 14th by participating in the 21st World Sound Healing Day. We'll be back in a moment.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself. Invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. OWN Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, OWN Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an OWN Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on OWN Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive OWN Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. OWN Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OWN Times' flagship radio show, What Is Going On? And as an author, editor and 13 times book judge who's read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors, I'm constantly asked, what's really worth reading and what's not? So I created the No BS Spiritual Book Club to help you save time and money by picking the brains of discerning names who have walked this path before you. There's no catch, no fees and no BS, just an ever-growing library of 10 best spiritual book lists from some of your favourite authors and teachers, plus free book excerpts, audios and video interviews with people like Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., David G., Lee Harris, Mark Nepo and more. From well-known classics to hidden gems you've never heard of, it's the only No BS guide to the best spiritual books to enlighten your journey of self-discovery. So why not join the club, get inspired and save money at the No BS Spiritual Book Club.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. Jonathan, I hope you've held on to that story.
Yes, indeed. And Sandy, I want to thank you and just tell everybody that is listening and watching now or ever will that sound is a phenomenal way of shifting and changing your consciousness and really instilling health in yourself and others. And so welcome aboard. Thank you for having me again for this next section. So the story takes me back to 1986 in Ludenscheid, Germany, when I have been invited by the International Society of Music and Medicine to give a presentation. It was a conference on music and medicine, and I was one of the few non-PhD MD people on the faculty at this particular time for this program. And I did a presentation on creating vocal harmonics, which a lot of the book Healing Sounds, it does teach you how to create different harmonic sounds, why you should do it, and it's relatively easy. So I was doing a presentation to these doctors after talking to them about certain aspects, how harmonics are the colors of sound, etc. And I basically got into making a harmonically related nasal sound, and I said, we call this one Sonic Dristan. And it was a joke, but it was true because I'd noticed that if I'd had any sort of nasal congestion, that making this sound would help clear up my sinus cavities. Now, they didn't laugh, I think, because they didn't have Dristan, which may no longer exist. But anyway, it's a decongestant, ladies and gentlemen. And but back in 1986, I had the awareness because I've had the experience. And then fairly recently, I came across information that was done in 2002 by the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, where they had literally found that humming, which is one of the aspects, one of the steps of doing vocal harmonics, humming is a very, very wonderful way of generating nasal nitric oxide. Now, a word for a moment on nitric oxide, which was in 1992 voted the, or maybe it was 1998, it was voted by Science Magazine the molecule of the year. But nitric oxide is number one, a vasodilator, which means it opens up our bloodstream. It helps basically make it more flexible, which is really good to have the oxygen and all this other stuff go through different parts of your body. So on that level, nitric oxide, which has gotten a lot of attention lately, is great. But also nitric oxide is an antiviral agent. So if you have a, you know, congested nose. I recently just texted with my nephew who had come down with an illness. And I said, hum nasally. In other words, you close your mouth and and that generates 15 times the amount of nitric oxide that is normally generated if you do what they call nitric oxide breathing. And that's because, you know, the resonance of the vibration in the nasal cavity really causes this to occur. So I think that's a very, very important aspect. And we were talking about the generation through harmonics and sound of melatonin. That's another great thing. You get the release of oxytocin, another great thing. You get a reduction of heart rate and respiration, which is truly, it's so important. The fact that anybody, you don't have to be a trained musician, you don't have to be a trained singer, you can simply hum or make some of these harmonic sounds and experience these extraordinary effects.
As someone, you go into that in your book, The Humming Effect, don't you, which is a fascinating book. There's one thing you haven't mentioned, nitric oxide. That's how they discovered Viagra, through nitric oxide. And
yes, that is true.
Putting the pieces together, maybe that's why, you know, in the old days, men used to serenade the women that they were trying to seduce.
You know, I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot mantra.
Yeah, but it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you know, what we're discovering with the research, you know, that you can you can clear your own sinuses, you can produce your own melatonin, you know, you can encourage the production of it. I mean, after reading, I think it was The Humming Effect.
Yeah.
You know, I started singing to my body in the shower. And I thought, yeah, you know, just sing to my body and tell all my organs how grateful I am. And, you know, it can't do any harm whatsoever and can do a lot of good.
I'm going to use humming as a metaphor for self-created sound, particularly for harmonics, whether you're going, hmm, or going, hmm. But, I mean, you can also use it, for example, once again, frequency plus intent, making the sound. What is your intent? That one I was just, you know, projecting into my, if you like, skull area, and particularly my forehead area. So if I'd had a headache or something like that, it's oftentimes very good. If I have a stomach ache, I'll just change the tone a little bit and resonate somewhere else. I am going to play a game with you for just a second, just because I'm guided to do this. For anybody who's watching, if you want to experience the power of harmonics, try this. I'm going to tone this, I'm going to make the sound, and then I want you to try it, or, you know, try it at another time. But one of the major differences, remember I was talking about formants before, and the most pronounced harmonics in a sound? The vowel sounds have different formants in them, which is why I, in Healing Sounds, created a system of working with vowels as mantras to resonate the different chakras. And this can be easily found because the vowel sounds, even if they are basically done on the same tone, will resonate different areas simply because of the harmonics. So I'm going to go from an ah to an e just a couple of times. And if you're there watching this, put your hand on your chest and your hand on the top of your head, and I'm going to go ah. Sandy, you want to try that?
Oh, you don't want me to do it. I don't want to do it. No, let me benefit from you doing it.
No, try it yourself. You got this. Is self-created benefit. Just go.
R-E.
Yeah.
R-E.
Can you feel the difference in resonance?
I can feel that in my head. Yeah.
Okay. And that's like not spiritual. That's what they call vibroacoustics.
Yeah.
There are two ways that we can experience sound. One is through the ears, and that's called psychoacoustics. And that's where the sound goes into the ear, into the brain, into the nervous system, affecting our heart rate, our respiration, our brain waves, for example. The other is called vibroacoustics, and that is where the sound is coming, either going into the body, going into us on a cellular level. And that's vibroacoustics is so very, very important. And it's something that has been right now mostly ignored by science. Science right now is putting people in MRIs and trying to check out where, when they listen to music, it affects them in their brain. But the big thing that's going to be a huge changer of phenomena is when they begin to examine the vibroacoustics and where and how the sound affects us in our body. Quote from the New York Times science section, February 8, 1988. So this is not brand new. Sound shaped into dazzling tool can make, break, or rearrange molecular structure. So we're talking about an actual energy, a power right now that has the effect of basically shifting and changing things. So just when you're going, that was just a little example of going, wow, sounds that I make are not just constricted to my throat. They can go into different parts of my body.
Mm. Your first transformational experience with sound was at a workshop with Sarah Benson, and you did an exercise called the Song of the Soul. I once heard that if you find the hairs on the back of your neck standing up in response to a voice, a tone, a song, or whatever it is, that's your personal note, that you are resonating so deeply with that, that it is lifting the hairs on your body. Do you agree with that?
I never disagree with anything, because if somebody has an experience, I would say, what a wondrous experience. But I'd like to suggest that phenomena can shift and change depending upon the person, depending upon the sound, depending upon their experience. So as a concept, if you're experiencing that, I think there's a real deep resonance. I'm not one of these people who believes necessarily that we are born into a frequency, we die in a frequency, and we keep reincarnating on that frequency, or a waveform or a ray form or whatnot, if you believe in that sort of thing. Because I think, how boring. That doesn't really allow us to have much spiritual evolution, shift, and change. And in fact, I think that oftentimes, rather than, you know, one of the things that I've certainly noticed, and this is now come from 40 years of experience, is the fact that we are very fluid beings. We're about 90% water, or 80% water, or 70% water. We're very fluid, and we shift and change with all sorts of things. So that depending upon the time, the space, and the need of the individual, any sound can potentially be therapeutic and have extremely powerful effects. You know, one of the things that is very important for people to understand, just the bottom line, is that the different rhythms in music drive our heart rate and our brain waves. Slow music slows us down. Fast music speeds us up. I found this out the really hard way when I tried to listen to some of my music for relaxation when I got on a treadmill, and all of a sudden I literally, my musculature wanted to basically adhere to the sound of the really relaxing stuff, and I fell off the treadmill. So I realized from that level, the Rolling Stones, Jumping Jack Flash is much more effective. But that type of thing, what is it that you need? And so therefore, I think we have this incredible smorgasbord of music from all over the planet, from all sorts of different traditions, with all sorts of different energy and power in them. And we should sample the different things and see what resonates with us at whatever time and place we're in it.
Mm. So the Song of the Soul, which was the workshop that Sarah Benson was teaching, are you saying that, you know, the Song of the Soul is something that can change you change?
Oh, totally. And it would change because I'll first describe the Song of the Soul, which for me was life-changing. There are about 30 people in this room. I was put in the middle. I was holding a quartz crystal, and they basically began to chant my name, and the name turned into a song with intention. That was one of the things that Sarah had people do, is basically sing the person's name and put the intention on there. And what happened for me, Sandy, I closed my eyes. I was transported to this amethyst pyramid in the woods. I knew nothing about experiences like this. And when I opened my eyes, I said, gee, I got to find out more about this, meaning the crystal. And I've also got to find out more about sound. Well, I began to teach this in workshops frequently. And it would be different for every person, the Song of the Soul. And that Song of the Soul would be different if we did the same person twice at different times. It would be very different.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Talk to us about World Sound Healing Day. Now, you've got the 21st anniversary event coming up. How did you start this?
As always, it came through meditation. And basically, it was probably around the year 2000. And I was meditating with my wife, Andy. And this voice said to me, okay, you have helped bring awareness of the use of sound for personal healing to the planet. And that's great. We want you to keep doing that. But we now want you to enlarge your spectrum and start teaching the use of sound for planetary healing. And I went, great, tell me more. And transmission got cut off or whatever it was. And I had to try to figure out what was going on. And the reality was that, okay, how are we going to be doing, how can you basically shift and create, you know, planetary healing? And two things happened. I remember one of them was that, and this is really before we had phenomena such as this, which is a Zoom or whatnot. I was in a chat room with a bunch of students. I said, okay, let's all do an ohm. And Sandy, you couldn't hear it. We were in a chat room, but you could feel somehow the very fiber of energy in our individual fields. You could feel, and I thought, aha, the internet is the neural net of the planet, the global mind. How do we activate the global heart? And the answer is that many, many different traditions, the connecting link between the heart and the mind and the heart. I go do this different because in the Tibetan tradition, the mind is here and the heart is here in certain teachings, is through sound. And I said, okay, well, what if we somehow had a day when people made sound? What day we're going to do it? Valentine's Day. Okay. Perhaps a lot of this was unconscious or subconscious, but it turned out that Valentine's Day was also a day 20 years before when I had founded the Sound Healers Association. And I hadn't realized that because, by gosh, there's so many things going on in my psyche. And at the time, okay, what sound are we going to make? And at the time, we worked with the ah sound, which in many, many different traditions is the sound of the heart chakra. Ma, Pa, Tara, Yaheshua, they all have the ah sound. And so we had people throughout the planet at 12 o'clock noon New York time make the ah sound, which was great. But what if you lived in Japan? So, you know, the time question. So what we've done now is we've evolved in World Sound Healing Day to such a degree that people still do the ah sound, all sorts of tones, ah, om, hum, you, whatever. There are certain sacred seed syllables that are wonderful, but also everything from crystal bowls, sound baths, musical groups, people even doing guided meditations or doing poetry, as long as it's encoded with the energy of kindness, compassion, gratitude, and love, then it is, on a level, a healing sound. You know, it depends on what you like, but it's the intention put on the sound. And once again, we have a website, which is worldsoundhealingday.org, worldsoundhealingday.org. And you can even go there now, because we've got probably about 40 different events already listed. And by the time February 14th comes and we send a sonic Valentine to the Gaia Matrix, there'll be hundreds of them from dozens of different countries throughout the planet. And I'd like to suggest that one of the key ingredients was basically, if like, research by an organization called HeartMath, and it's called heart-brain coherence. And that's where simply you get your heart and your brain to basically be locked in step, to be in resonance, to be in train together. And when that happens, your electromagnetic field becomes anywhere from 50 to 500 times greater. And then when you add the element of sound, it becomes even greater. There is a reason why the different prayers on our planet are, for the most part, vocalized, whispered, chanted, spoken, or sung. It's because sound amplifies the power of prayer and meditation. It amplifies our ability to project and focus our intentionality.
Mm. Do you broadcast on that day? Do you broadcast yourselves?
Well, there is a global events portal on the World Sound Healing Day thing where there are literally hundreds of different events that are broadcast by different people on that day. So it's not just me. I've tried to make this an all-inclusive thing. It would have been only too easy to have Jonathan Goldman presents himself leading an OM. And that would be fine. But I want, you know, I'm really big into empowering everybody to use sound. So there are lots of different events. It's growing and growing, because we like to say we heal the planet. We heal ourselves. We heal ourselves and we heal the planet. We have a choice and we can make a difference.
Mm. We've only got a couple of minutes left now, but I do want to ask you about your complete chakra chanting program on your website, because you've reduced the price of this down to the ridiculously low level of $8.99, a 7-day program. Why?
Oh boy, if I could give it away free, I would, because I'm like that. It's like I could charge for World Sound Healing Day and could, but I just, it's my purpose, is my mission is to empower the planet with sacred sound. So and I found, fortunately or unfortunately, that if you give stuff away for free, people don't think it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
So, you know, we made it, you know, affordable. And it's a wonderful way of working with self-created sound, with the chakras, to, you know, put yourself in a state of health and resonance. And, you know, thank you for mentioning that, Sandy, because it's, and it's based on the information that I had in Healing Sounds.
So, Jonathan, last question before we close. You know, 30 years in astrology, that is a kind of big Saturn return cycle.
That's right.
What are you going to do for the next 30?
What a brilliant question. And I'm clueless.
Wait for inspiration.
Spirit. I follow spirit. And however I am guided with my wife, Andy, to be of greatest service on the planet, we will do this. I trust it has something to do with helping everyone learn how to project light and love through sound.
Yeah. Jonathan Goldman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sandy, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so very much. And to everybody who's listening, put sound in your life. It'll make a difference. It'll change the way you relate to reality and yourself.
Absolutely, and help heal yourself. So Healing Sounds, The Power of Harmonics, 30th Anniversary Edition, which contains more than 100 minutes of exclusive audio downloads to help you experience and embody the power of harmonics, is published by Healing Arts Press, which is a division of Inner Traditions International. For more information about Jonathan Goldman's book and his work and the upcoming World Sound Healing Day event on February the 14th, visit healingsounds.com, worldsoundhealingday.org. And if you want some actual experiences, check out templesofsacredsound.com as well. That's it for this week. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I'll be back at the same time next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me and a heartfelt thank you to Jonathan Goldman.